As the cross-burning incident at Cornell demonstrated, this preference for arousing passions at the expense of truth and reason defined the agenda of those fighting in the trenches. The practice of lying for justice, always acceptable on the communist left, was infused into the American New Left with new potency. The catchphrase at the Columbia Uprising was, "The issue is not the issue." No wonder, since the actual issue, building a gym in adjacent Harlem, was much small beer. For most of the activists, deceit wasn't the point. The point was passion, mobilization, action. As one SDS member proclaimed after he and his colleagues seized a building and kidnapped a dean, "We've got something going on here, and now we've just got to find out what it is." Building a politics of meaning. The movement of the 1960s didn't start out destructive. In fact, it started out brimming with high-minded idealism and hope. The Port Huron Statement, the signature document of the New Left, was, for all its overwrought verbiage, a well-intentioned statement of democratic optimism and admirable honesty. The authors, chief among them Tom Hayden, conceded that they were in fact bourgeois radicals, bred in at least modest comfort. Driven by a sense of alienation from the American way of life, the young radicals craved a sense of unity and belonging, a rediscovery of personal meaning through collective political endeavors. Life seemed out of balance. "It is difficult today to give human meaning to the welter of facts that surround us," the authors proclaimed. Their aim was to create a political system that would restore human meaning, whatever that is. The goal of man and society, they insisted, should be human independence, a concern not with image of popularity, but with finding a meaning in life that is personally authentic. This urge for self-assertion should be translated into a politics that could unleash the unrealized potential for self-cultivation, self-direction, self-understanding, and creativity. At the time, youth activists found a willing ear in mainstream liberalism, which was preaching more and more about national service, sacrifice, and action. John F. Kennedy, the youngest president ever elected, replacing the oldest president ever elected, simultaneously fed and appealed to this atmosphere at every turn. "Let the word go forth," he declared in his inaugural address with an almost authoritarian tempo, "that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans, born in the century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace." His most famous line, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country," resonated with a generation desperate to find collective redemption in peace, the way their parents had in war. A subconscious current ran through the entire society, a quest for community and galvanizing leadership.